The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's state of state. We got your Nittany Line update. It's a football discussion with Tom and Justin. So kick back and press play.
With former Penn State and NFL defensive back Justin King, I'm Tom Hanifin. This is State of State. This podcast is presented by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. Major League Baseball, golf, the NBA, and NHL playoffs especially. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. State of State is presented by BetOnline. The game starts here. Are you looking for a higher potential return on your savings? Turn to our sponsor, Save. As an SEC-registered investment advisor, Save safely combines the best parts of saving and investing with its Market Savings program. Market Savings is a savings product that provides you with market returns instead of interest. The returns come from diversified investment portfolios based on your individual investment profile. The return from the investments is paid to you at the end of the selected investment term. But investing comes with risk, right? Well, with Save, your deposit is FDIC insured and never used for any investments. The current variable APYs are 9.07% for the one-year product and 7.9% for the five-year product. So what does this cost you? Well, Save only charges a fee when your investments make you money. To learn more or to sign up, visit joinsave.com/state. That's joinsave.com/state. The link to the website is in the description of this podcast. State of State invites you to join Save.
Blue White Week is finally upon us. This Saturday, April 13th at 2 p.m. Eastern, live on the Big Ten Network, Penn State will have its annual Blue White game. If you can't be there in person in State College, obviously you can watch it on the Big Ten Network. We have got a full preview for what to expect, what we hope is going to happen, what we think might happen. And let's just be honest, guys. Let's not overblow this. This is a glorified scrimmage. Let's all just calm down. All right. This is going to be fun. Thank you for liking, commenting, subscribing, turning on notifications. Rate us. It really helps the show. Hop on social media and follow us at State of State Pod on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. Now, this is a year that Justin and I have been co-hosts on this. And this platform has existed for about 3 years now. So it's just so much fun to have. It's nice to have football again, Justin. Like, even if it is something where it's like, yeah, like, let's not get too carried away with the good and bad that happens this weekend. It's just nice to be like, it's a Saturday in State College and there's some football at Beaver Stadium. I'm excited.
100%, man. Spring game is always a pretty interesting time because like there's not really much pressure surrounding the game. So you're going out to just have a good time. Everybody stay healthy. But I just remember like my first spring game, because I was early enrollee, so I was supposed to still be in high school. It was like my first taste of, I can't even say playing against the guys because I was going through spring ball, mm-hmm. but it was like the expectations of, hey, you came to school early. Like, what have you been doing here? Right? Like, your parents come up to see you. Everybody's like, hey, you went to college early. Like, are you playing? And then you get out there, you make a couple plays, and you get that first feel of being in Beaver Stadium. It's not like a Saturday afternoon in season, but it is it's pretty special.
It's wild because, like, on average, it's like 60 to 70,000 people will show up for this spring game pretty consistently. And it's just, it should be an okay day, I think, from a weather standpoint. We're recording this Tuesday. This will come out Wednesday. But like, I think Wednesday through Friday in State College was supposed to be a bunch of rain. So hopefully the field's in okay condition. And then Saturday, as I'm looking at it right now, low 40, high in the mid 50s, windy. So this is that time of year, Justin, that as a graduate, I remember that this is the time of year where you get little glimmers of the sun and then everybody goes out and it's like, oh my God, we can tailgate. We can go to the game, and everybody gets a sunburn and is trying to enjoy it as best they can. But like, it's groundhogs popping out of the earth, being like, oh my God, there's football again. But hopefully it's an okay day. From your experience, and you're just kind of touching on it now, when you got into this time of the year, the winter workouts and then spring practices, by the time the blue-white game came around, regardless of the year that you were there, were you just ready to hit somebody like full-blown go at it? Or is it more like, hey, everybody, I know you want to go nuts, but calm down?
It's funny you say that, because I was playing both sides of the ball. So I was trying to learn the offensive package that we were coming out with and the defensive package when I was going in, just different stuff that was like when I would be on the different teams, because I think I was rotating the teams on like offense and defense, how they were doing it. But I remember it was a big deal when me, Derek, Jordan were coming out of spring ball. So the first scripted maybe 8 to 10 plays, we knew we were getting like 3 big shots within that first 10 plays. So it was like there's a little butterflies before the spring game, because I was like, I know the one I had a seam route where I was running like a little stutter and go from the seam up the sideline, and got my man, I don't forget who it was. I don't know if it's Norm McCree, but I got somebody pretty good. I remember making a nice move.
We don't need to burn that guy. Yeah, right? I don't know.
But I remember making a nice move. It was like, oh, this feels like high school. And it was like open, made the catch. It was like, and at that point, all the nerves kind of went away. And I think made another big play, and then nice couple plays on defense. So I had a nice showing on that first spring game. But I think there was, the nerves were there, but it was kind of loose because I was just playing both sides of the ball. So I wasn't super technically sound. I was just out there kind of playing and having fun. So that was a little bit different for, I think, my intro into college versus other players that I see now, where the technique aspect and understanding your assignments to the core is like will keep you off the field. And I remember when I got in there, it was like more so understanding the concepts and like, hey, this is what we want to accomplish. You fill out the stuff in the middle. And I was like, all right. Yeah, you know I mean, so that's what's a little bit different. So it's interesting.
The mental side of this, I think, especially for this blue-white game, is so much more important than what we do see on the field. And I know every Penn State football fan is going to either be in attendance or glued to their TV looking to pick apart, you know, who stood out, who was okay, who didn't do much, all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, I think we need to continue to hammer home, we have 3 new coordinators on this team, offensive, mm-hmm. defensive, and special teams. And especially what you yourself have seen at spring practices in regards to the amount of motion, pre-snap reads, et cetera, that Andy Kotelnicki is trying to put in on offense consistently this time of year. The defense is ahead of the offense. I'm not expecting anything clunky, but I'm also not expecting anything grandiose to the point that we're all just going to go, oh my God, it's the greatest offense ever. It's going to be kind of a growing process and some growing pains potentially. Legitimately, as an evaluator and a former player, and then just someone who is a fan of this team, what do you hope to see specifically from the offensive execution?
Sound like a broken record, but just a clear identity, right? Like, oh, this is how we're going to approach this season. And like, where it's just very clear from the personnel, how we attack the game, whether it's third down calls, first down calls, just throughout. I would like the identity to be extremely clear on offense, just out, even outside of being a balanced attack, right? Like where they have a little bit of, identity and swag to themselves. Like that's what I would look for just in a macro perspective.
And as you all know, we here at State of State have partnered with Cut, the social betting platform. Cut is a peer-to-peer betting platform that allows you to bet directly against your buddies and other fans. That's right. You can join the Believe Podcast Network crew on Cut today and bet directly against your favorite Believe hosts on your favorite sports, pop culture, and political topics. Cut is the ultimate put your money where your mouth is platform. Be sure to follow at CutBet on all your social media channels and download the app via the App Store or Cut.com. Use our promo code Believe Penn State. That's BLEAV Penn State for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code Believe Penn State. That's BLEAV Penn State. Cut. Put your money where your mouth is. State of State is a proud supporter of Blue White Outfitters. Blue White Outfitters was created as a retail shop meant to highlight the confidence, competitiveness, and fearlessness of the elite athletes found throughout the history of Penn State University. Check out their Lockdown U and Lawn Boys merchandise today. All sales from Blue White Outfitters directly benefit Penn State student athletes. Visit www.bluewhiteoutfitters.com today.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And it does sound like this is going to be an offense that is predicated around running the football aggressively and in a lot of different diverse ways. So I'm curious to see how that looks. I think for me, considering the amount of footage that we saw coming out of spring practices of every offensive skill player, quarterbacks, running backs, tight ends, wide receivers, going through ball carrying drills, even at times seeing the quarterbacks really spending a lot of time running the option, I'm very curious to see what quarterback Drew Aller looks like. And again, it's not even a situation where I'm like, man, I need to see Drew throw it all over the yard or something like that. It's far from it. I just kind of want to see what the base package is for what he does. And then allegedly through the offseason thus far, he's trimmed down. His body composition is better. Not to say that he was in bad condition, but James Franklin has said, hey, he's roughly the same weight, but he's leaner and he's moving a little bit better. So I do have my concerns about him being consistently a part of the running game. However, I'd like to see what that base looks like this weekend because we know what Bo Prabula can be in that capacity. What do you want to see from Drew?
Just a command of the offense, right? Just man having a spring underneath his belt and moving out just the next year of development, right? That year two of just kind of letting it loose. I mean, we saw kind of how he played against Maryland, just attacking the middle of the field, letting this stuff shine through, scrambling a little bit, making plays with his legs. That's what I would like to see. Just a pure command of the offense, not really, you know, looking for ghosts or anything of that nature, but really attacking it.
And even considering the amount of changes that are happening for this offense, there will be things that are holdovers from years past, as James Franklin has articulated, but you're going to see what Andy Kotelnicki's offense looks like at its base level. So again, not getting too hung up on the successes and failures that do happen this weekend. Offensively, however, do you need to see one particular player stand out and why?
I do not. need to see one particular player stand out, but I would like to see some production from the receivers. I would like to see some explosive plays. Like that's what I like to see, some separation being created on the outside, and some spark from the outside receivers and the inside guys for that matter. That's what I would like to see.
I think every Penn State fan feels that way when you said that. I'd like to see the receivers do something. That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want to see in the spring game. Like I said, going into the spring game when I was there, that was like a thing. We were drawing the first 10 plays to get the fans excited going into the offseason. Because if you remember when we came in as freshmen and receivers, that year previous was probably historically one of the worst offenses in Penn State history. I mean, I think my visit, the score was 6-2 and they lost. So it's like... So with that being like that injection, I just know how sometimes the Penn State fans are that ebbs and flows of like coming off of a shaky, I can't even say shaky offensive performance, but just more of the expectations not being met from a fan perspective. I want to see some excitement, man, on the offensive side of the ball, especially in the spring game. Nice weather. Get some corn dogs or something out there.
I just think about every time I go to Beaver Stadium, I'm like, I want the chicken basket. That's all.
The chicken basket. Yes. I'm with you on that.
Big fan of that.
It's guaranteed.
Speaking of the wide receivers, it does seem like this game could set up Julian Fleming for a feast or famine reaction from the fans. If he has, you know, an awesome showing in the blue-white game, that it's, oh my God, Julian Fleming's everything we thought he was going to be. And if he's MIA, people are going to freak out.
Well, you just got to, you know, temper the expectations. Like, he's coming in, like, he's not going to get 100 plays. Like, he's not going to get 70 plays. Right. But so we just got to make sure, I mean, just make a play or something, but that's going to happen if he doesn't do anything. Like, why do we pay him this money? Why do you go? But that comes with the territory.
And speaking of the wide receivers, recently James Franklin spoke with the media. He was asked in particular about Keandre Lambert-Smith. Franklin said, Keandre has had a good spring, has shown some real flashes this spring, and I'm seeing them on a more consistent basis. We need him and expect him to have a big year. I'm seeing more consistency in the big plays and production. So that's encouraging, but it still sounds like the narrative that we've heard for a few years now around Keandre is big play potential, big production potential hasn't been realized yet. And then at the same time with Trey Wallace, battled a lot of injuries for the bulk of his career, especially in 2023. So that season wasn't what it could have been, but this is an opportunity for him to show what he's doing and just get out there and move around a little bit. One person I'm interested to see in particular, I'm curious what you think of this, is Malik McClain. Cause I think that's somebody that we've kind of forgotten about in the past year, and that he came from Florida State, big, big dude, about 6'4". And he kind of got overshadowed by the hype and potential that Dante Cephas had to transfer from Kent State. Now I believe he's off to Kansas State. So it's a matter of time for Malik McClain, who has multiple years of eligibility still left. Outside of Fleming, is there a wide receiver you're looking at as like, this could be a good opportunity for him?
I think McClain's a good receiver to bring up or highlight just from his physical stature. And you go into practice, like, he does stand out. Like, he's a good looking receiver. And I mean, he did flash at the beginning of the season and he kind of tailed off. That was kind of the situation with a lot of the receivers where they were popping up week in and week out and just not having any real true consistency. So, I mean, again, when it comes to that receiver room, obviously you want to see something from Julian Fleming, but I'm excited to see the group as a whole show some real production, to be completely honest.
One of the things that was asked about James Franklin recently was, you know, if you don't see that production or the wide receiver room step up, is the potential that you see that number two tight end featured in the offense? I don't know if you're really going to get an answer to that one way or the other, but we know what Tyler Warren's all about. Do you expect to see a revolving door of tight ends this weekend?
Yeah, let me just look at the formation or just the construction of the offense. I think it is similar to, if you think back to, the old Patriot style type of offense. I think a lot of coaches like that, right? We have two tight ends that can do something. The outside receivers aren't really the ideal targets, but they can hit them in timing and different spaces like that. When you have a quarterback that can deliver the ball and you have two running backs, one that's a little scat back and one that's power back that can move the chains. And then at that point, you can have a truly balanced offense to where you're having the defense play on their heels because you can attack them so many different ways in an efficient manner too, right? Where it's just not explosive plays where you're bombing it down the field, but it's explosive plays because it's 14 yards and you're turning it up to turn it to 28 or whatever that might look like. And I think they have that, the making of that with the offense, just from the personnel standpoint, with your number two guy, pure NFL type of tight end, being a TJ Warren. And yeah, I think he can be the number two, one or two target for Drew going into this season.
Looking at this blue-white game, the difficulty is evaluating units. I'm thinking about the offensive line, and that there's been a lot of conversation lately about Cooper Cousins. Apparently the five-star true freshman has been every bit as advertised, if not more, to the point that this guy could see some playing time this season. Conversations this past week in terms of whether or not he could even start at center. It sounds like Nick Dawkins probably is leading in that direction. There is going to be a battle amongst all five positions, it sounds like, and for the offensive line, something James Franklin has talked about into training camp, there will be battles at both tackle spots, which is, you know, a positive and worrisome all at the same time. But how difficult is it to evaluate the offensive line this time of year?
It's tough when you're not watching the film. It's hard to watch in live action, but I mean, you can evaluate them, I guess, on the film, just in terms of assignment pickups and things of that nature. They're not going to see too many exotic blitzes. So just from the standpoint of being able to block a defender, from a man-to-man standpoint, I think you can get evaluation from that, pick up the playbook, how they block. But it gets kind of tough when you don't have live bullets flying. So you'll just see more one-on-one type of matchups, but man, you have to hold their own, and you just don't want to see any blown coverages or guys just let loose. It's like, oh, that could have got our guy killed, right? Like those type of faux pas against the offensive line, you just want to see cleaned up. And that's really where I think offensive line play is very unique, because you can have five guys that are average that understand the scheme and are on point from an intelligence standpoint, and hold up pretty well versus a whole bunch of talented guys that don't understand the scheme, pick up blitzes, and let free runners appear, and it can get real bad for offenses and quarterbacks, for that matter. So you just want to see them be in line from a technical and intelligence standpoint in terms of picking up the different schemes that they get from the defensive line.
The good thing is that there's that veteran depth at the guard spots. We talked about it before. Sal Wormley, JB Nelson, Vega Ioane got a ton of time last season. Drew Shelton is somebody who's moved between guard and tackle, is probably going to be in competition for that tackle spot. This is going to be the first opportunity for Penn State fans to see what the tackle position looks like. I hope we're all understanding what we had on film for a number of years. We had Olufashinu, who might be the first tackle off the board in this year's NFL draft, didn't give up a sack for 2 years. And Caden Wallace, who I would not put on the same level of ability as Fashanu, but still a multi-year starter who consistently performed for Penn State. Had his highs and lows, sure, but still, your bookend tackles are gone. Does that competition worry you, or based on what you've seen and what you've heard from the talent that's in the building, are you encouraged to just see who locks it down?
More encouraged to see who locks it down. I mean, I don't think there's nothing to get worried about, because somebody's going to step on the field and play. So I'm just more concerned to see like who really steps up and shines through.
And it sounds like Nolan Rucci has really stepped in, the transfer from Wisconsin, a long history with Penn State, somebody that Penn State has recruited for a number of years. Flipping to the defensive side of the ball, and you just kind of touched on it, is that, you know, you're not going to see too many exotic packages. We know that the offense will and should look different under Andy Kotelnicki, but now it's like, hey, this is the first glimpse of what Tom Allen is going to do. So you might not see anything terribly exotic, but hopefully you do see Abdul Carter in a straight line go after the quarterback and try and be aggressive. I'm personally curious to see what the defensive tackle position looks like, and I'm not terribly worried about that. There's a lot of veteran experience in that position, but I'm just curious to see who has that flash, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, this could be a good opportunity for somebody.
100%. I think you see that defensive line play, that gets me excited, right? When you see dominant defensive line play, because that's the type of when that group has success, typically teams have long-term success, because it can hold up a lot of different things with a strong defensive line group that can stop the run and attack the passer. I mean, and it shows that, like I said, I was impressed by that group just like the DBs when I went to practice were just like the sheer athleticism. And athleticism is good when you're rushing a passer and you're doing your different stunts, but you have to have some grit and girth to be able to hold it down when teams like Ohio State are running up the middle. So I'd like to see, again, something similar as the offense where you just talk about like a cohesive unit where they're making plays in the backfield, getting penetration consistently, regardless of who's rotating. So that's both sides of the football. That may mean that we'll be worried about the offensive line, because if I see the defensive line looking that, then it means we'll probably be concerned about the offensive line. But that's what I would like to see from the defense.
Well, and again, you said it last week or the week before, I can't remember, and it's something that's normal this time of year. The defense is consistently ahead of the offense in the spring, and I don't know exactly what to expect from what Tom Allen puts on the field. The way that you reported it was, you're going to see a lot of defensive backs. I think a lot of people are going to be curious in terms of that competition at linebacker, who's really getting more reps, but I still think there's so much competition at that position. I'm not losing sleep over, you know, how many snaps Kobe King gets, how many snaps Tony Rojas gets. If anything, I expect to see a fleet of linebackers thrown out there, because there's a lot of guys that you've talked about. It's not a question of talent. It's a question of experience. So yeah, we know what Kobe King has got. Tony Rojas got himself a lot of experience this past year, but is still trying to grow into a full-time role. Overall, from what Tom Allen gets to do with this defense this weekend, looking at it from the coaching staff standpoint, what do you expect from him?
I'm interested to see the defensive units, right? When we're talking about just rotating, like with players from a personnel standpoint that he's putting together. I mean, just to try to see how he's envisioning the different groups in terms of evaluation. Like, what secondary is he putting in together? We talk about the rotation up front and the linebackers. What groups of guys are consistently playing together, and who's rotating in with different groups to try to get a feel for who he likes fitting into his defense? So that's what I'd be looking for.
Especially focusing on the defensive backs, which I know you love. James Franklin this week was very complimentary of the transfers at defensive back. Jalen Kimber from Florida, AJ Harris from Georgia. Speaking about Kimber, Franklin said Kimber is poised and mature. He's excited to see him, especially this summer, because he has a lot on his plate right now. And that's the thing, especially for transfers and true freshmen this time of year. Try not to lose sleep over what they do in the blue-white game. It's a chance for them to get out there and run around. But I'm personally pretty excited to see what Kimber can do. And then AJ Harris is somebody that Franklin said, AJ Harris, aggressive, confident, playing well, physical corner, can play all five defensive back positions. Kimber's the one with more experience. Harris, I think, is a redshirt freshman, a redshirt sophomore. I forget exactly which it is, but it's limited time. Are you surprised to hear that?
No, I think when he came in, I think I made mention of him possibly being like that safety nickel type of cornerback. I mean, just based on his size and just his athletic traits. When you just look at his high school profile, that's kind of how he plays. Just an overall good, aggressive football player that fits into that room. So I'm not surprised at all. You know, sometimes older guys that have been around the block, they get through spring. And you see what happens when they get into the summertime, when the season's really about to start.
For the record, AJ Harris is a true sophomore, so I was in the ballpark at least. But I'm very interested to see what this safety unit does, especially because there is a position where there's so much depth. KJ Winston, Jalen Reed, Zaki Wheatley. I want to see what King Mack can do. King Mack sounds like somebody, Justin, that they're very excited about. It's just not his time yet. What do you think about King Mack?
I mean, we'll see. I didn't see him too much when I was at practice. I mean, but the guys that were kind of, I mean, KJ Winston, Zaki Wheatley, and Jalen Reed, I think, are the clear one, two, and threes in that safety room. It's gonna be interesting to see how he fights through in the summer. But actually haven't heard as much about him as I did when he first got on the campus. So I'm not sure. That's something to look at.
He was somebody that early on was drawing comparisons to Jaquan Brisker. So not to anoint somebody, but the body type, the style of play, the violence with which he plays. I think that was maybe Alan Zamaitis who was talking to us about that a while ago here on the show. But I'm curious to see what King Mac can do. It's more just curiosity altogether. It's like, all right, let's get a little taste of these guys.
Yeah, sure. And I know it was funny. Like, I was actually, I had a little DB session with some guys locally, DB Tech. You guys check in with Justin King when you ever need something in the Pittsburgh area for some DB training. But somebody was walking around the track when I was doing training. Like, is this guy going to be the next Brisker? And it's like, in front of him, I'm like, you got to pump the brakes when you compare people to Brisker. I think we take for granted how special he was as a player. But if there's somebody that you want to compare it to, just like on body size, type, KJ is probably closer to Brisk. But Brisker was wired a little different. That was the general. So got to put some respect on the Brisker name.
Brisker, I mean, I know the Chicago Bears have struggled, but he has continued to be a bright spot for that defense.
100%.
Love what Brisker's been all about. Okay, so for the blue-white game, there's always that one player who shines and then you kind of never hear from him again. And the name that comes to mind for me the last few years is Omari Evans. And every blue-white game that he's played in, he and Drew Aller connect. They came in the same freshman class. He shines. That's another wide receiver. You know, hell, like I don't have expectations for Omari because it's just been so limited. And it's like there is that talent. There is that ability. We saw it flash for one play in that Michigan State game to close out the 2023 season. But it's pretty much he's the king of the blue-white game. And I was like, man, I'd love to see him put it all together. It'd be so cool.
Yeah, you would love to, right? I mean, because you do not want to be crowned the king of the blue-white game. So don't put that on my man Omari, man. The king of the blue-white game is nasty work. But
I'm not trying to be mean, but let's be real.
It's extremely real. That's what I'm just telling him. Hey, let's knock that tag off. But you still want to have a good game on Saturday, right? I say that and you still want to have a good showing. But I mean, when he did come into the game, like he makes splash plays, and that's something that makes you just question the level of consistency of when, because when he does step in, he makes big plays or at least memorable plays, right? So you just like to see that consistency from him throughout the time and see if he gets his shot.
For me, I'm now thinking about connecting the dots just to Marcus Hagans, second offseason with the program as the wide receiver coach, and Deion Barnes, also his second year as a defensive line coach. That first year for a position coach, what's that turmoil and that adjustment process like? And then you get to the next offseason, it's kind of like a little bit calmer, and maybe you have a better handle on things.
Well, it just depends, right? I think someone like Hagans that played in the NFL, that played at a high level, is still younger and just age. Those guys are able to transition into different players, I mean, in the different rooms extremely well because they understand that every player isn't the same, right? And like how to connect with them is the main course that you get. So I've always heard great things about Hagans as a coach, but I think that first year you just want to earn. I mean, as the players want to earn trust with the coach wants to earn the players' trust that they play at, like the level that he wants them to play at and do the things that he needs them to do. And it's interesting in this day and age of football, because while he's trying to formulate his room, the room's trying to kind of gel together. When you think of transfer portal guys and guys that haven't just been staying in a room and have that camaraderie that once existed in college football. So it's more so learning the personalities of the individuals of the room, the collective of the room. And then now we have to make sure they're all situated right mentally to have some production.
You mentioned the transfer portal. That's going to open up again on Monday. So the blue white game is April 13th, April 15th. The transfer portal opens up again for a 2-week stretch. Last year, infamously, I guess you could say, Storm Duck transfers in, plays in the blue-white game, and then he's out within a handful of days. I think he was maybe on campus for 3 months, and it just seemed like maybe not the right fit altogether for this program. Not a lack of ability, but just not the right fit. So far, from what you're hearing of the transfers that are in, the conversation you and I have had on and off air is that it's like, yeah, it sounds like everybody fits that has transferred in this past cycle. Do you expect a Storm Duck situation?
I don't think you can expect a Storm Duck situation, but no, I really don't. It seems like their culture is kind of intact, but you never really know what different supporters or people in the player circles suggest if they're not playing in the spring game or if they're not getting the reps that they want to see. Mm. So I don't think that's something that you can anticipate, which I think it has to give credit to these coaching staffs and what they're kind of dealing with in terms of roster management, right? Because I get frustrated when we always speak about it being a business, and it's like, yeah, it's a business, but there's still like amateur rules where like there's a lot of holes in the rules where there's like, you know, there's byproduct or there's things that are happening from the byproduct of a rule that we just didn't anticipate, right? Where you can't build a cohesive roster. It's hard to win. And then you want to say like, oh, what's the business? We got to coaches leave, do this, but it's like, who's it actually benefiting when you have to put together a product on the field? And you can't plan for that. Like, at least in the NFL, you can plan for when guys are going to be free agents, when there's going to be a holdout. Like, you know what's going on. Even when it comes from the talent acquisition standpoint, a lot of times in NFL, like, they're evaluating the players that are available to come into the NFL. Like, in college, you're evaluating 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, and you're chasing offers just to stay within the game to recruit them to get to the end. And it's just a lot of fluff, but we call it the business. But like, there's an actual business that operates with rules in place that alleviates a lot of different things. If we want to talk about, you know, getting the right product and the protocols around the game, so we can have some level of formation that's equitable across the board, so where we can put the onus back on, you know, team building and putting out a product where it's like, yeah, the talent acquisition is at least fair. So that's just my thing when you think about the transfer portal, because, yeah, you can win. You can there's winners and losers in every situation, but it's just it's not incentivized to be used the correct way. And the rules aren't really put together because we're just putting Band-Aids on everything instead of just kind of holistically looking at the situation. Like, all right, where is the problems? Okay, the players are upset. The coaches are upset. So, like, who's happy with the situation right now? Like, all right, what will make this side happy? Oh, we want some transparency. Oh, this side, we want to recruit guys here. So it's like, oh, I feel like there's a way to make that work. So I wrote about a supplemental draft in high school. If anybody wants to check out the Blue Chip Academy Substack, go ahead and read that.
Seriously, check out Justin's stuff on social media, because if you're trying to understand the business of college football and you're a player, or even if you're just a fan, there's a lot you can take away from it. For me, Justin, I look at the transfer portal window opening up right after spring practices, and that it feels like if you're going to go get somebody in the portal, you need a guy with multiple years of eligibility that you can get in, because to get somebody in April, or, you know, realistically getting onto campus in May, look at how challenging it was for Dante Cephas to even attempt to assimilate into Penn State's football program. So if you've got a one and done, they better be the most talented one and done, or the smartest one and done that ever lived. But otherwise, you really need to go get somebody that is going to come in. It's like, hey, you might not see the field much in 2024, but we'll take a look at you.
Well, I mean, that's why you need strategic targeting when it comes to like personnel in college sports. And it can't be based on unlimited cap or unlimited salary cap based on NIL, because that's where you get those players where you talk about instant impact type of guys that come at the end of their career, and the one done like a Keon Coleman down to Florida State, because you're talking about a dynamic player that you pay to get there. And that's what happens typically in free agency. And that's who I think the transfer portal should be for. For the guys, it's like, oh, I'm this good and I can make my move here and that. But like, or if you get a new coaching staff and it's just not favorable for you in that situation, like you said, you have 3 to 4 years left of eligibility. It's like, hey, I can restart my career. I can build a foundation at this school. I think that's also beneficial to move. But there's just a lot of gray area where it's not necessarily beneficial to the coaches or player. Like, some coaches, right? The rich always get richer. If you have money and stuff at NIL, you can play the game. But, you know, there's room for growth and improvement in the whole industry.
Would it be safe to say that this spring portal window, most of the talent, the top flight talent, has been picked over from the winter portal opening?
Sure. Because I would think the guys that get into the portal after the spring have some unfavorable situation that they're dealing with at their team.
Personally or professionally, sure.
Personally or professional, right? But like, at this point for you to leave in the spring, and it's like, all right, the writing's on the wall, I gotta leave. And now it's up to the teams that take them in to fully understand why this player is leaving. Because you can have success at another team just because it didn't work there. I mean, Zach McPherson is a great example, a corner that's in the NFL now. He was in that lockdown U secondary room and he couldn't really battle to get on the field. I think with someone Tariq Castro Fields were always battling for like a position and spot. And it wasn't that he just Penn State wasn't that fit. He goes to Texas Tech, gets drafted, I want to say fourth or fifth round. Now he's third or fourth year in the NFL now. So like everybody's situation, like there's areas and moments where the transfer portal does make sense. But just have some clarity and transparency on how that process goes. I think there's still ways, yeah, man, for it to happen.
Of course, James Franklin and Kenny Sanders always keeping their finger on the pulse in terms of recruitment in the transfer portal. But do you expect Penn State to grab somebody out of the portal here in the spring?
Do you expect it? I think again, it's hard to anticipate because right now, I think they're full and then they have their roster of guys coming in. But if someone leaves, I mean, you have to change it. So you have to always have like a ready list, I would imagine, for moving forward, depending on what players decide to do. So got to stay light on your toes in this day and age of college football.
I'm looking forward to it this weekend, the Penn State blue-white game. Hop in the comments section, get at us on social media, and let us know what you're looking forward to, who you want to see stand out, who you are interested to see get out there maybe for the first time as a Nittany Lion, what you're expecting from both Tom Allen and Andy Kotelnicki, the new coordinators. There's a lot of new going on this weekend, and my encouragement to everybody watching and listening to this is don't freak out, good or bad. Just don't freak out. It's a spring game, so we'll see how it all goes. Again, thank you for liking, commenting, subscribing, rating us, and turning on notifications. It really helps the show. And we're looking forward to the Penn State blue-white game this Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern live on the Big Ten Network.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This episode and our entire library of shows is available now on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, let us know what you think of the show on social media and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for the handle at State of State Pod. State of State is presented by Bet Online and by Blue White Outfitters.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.